appreciated the announcements today, especially the one regarding the prayer request, because that is the title of my sermon today. We ought always to pray. There's a lot to pray about. You know, in the life that we have, in this Christian life of overcoming, we need help. And we need to stay connected to God. We need that lifeline that God gives us. We need an active prayer life. You know, we are right now in the on the run-up to the fall holy days. Coming up on those in about, I think about 6 or 7 weeks, I believe it is, that we'll be celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. And the spring holy days are kind of a distant memory now. We've been through those and remember the lessons, of course. We take those lessons with us every day. And now we're looking ahead to the fall holy days. And what we're going through every year is like a cycle that really is a picture of our lives. You're showing us our life with God and our life with Christ, our life of overcoming. We're on like this journey. We're on like a long and winding road, as this photo shows, as a road ahead of us that we need to stay on and keep going, and keep up our endurance to stay on that road. This way of life that we're going is leading to a destination, and that is, of course, the kingdom of God. And God's word gives us great assurance that we can make it there. We will get to where we're going. But in the meantime, as we go along this way, as the holy day cycle pictures for us every year, as we endure in our daily perseverance, we need that help that we have a close personal relationship with God. We need that. And God gives us His Spirit, which is that strength that we have if we have that close personal relationship with Him, if we maintain that. And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ has made it possible for us now to be in the presence of God, literally be able to come into His throne room before the presence of God, whom we cannot see, but we know He is there. And we need to be in that close connection where we're coming to Him every single day, all the time, to have, as the title of the sermon is, to be always praying. We ought always to pray. We are, as this slide shows, a couple of scriptures here that we're familiar with. We are like strangers in this world. We're walking in this world, but we're not part of it. We're separate from it. And where do we go for our help? Well, the help that we need is not here in this world. It's at that throne room of God that we need to go to daily, constantly, to have that strength that we need to endure. We are like Abraham and the fathers, strangers and pilgrims, walking through this earth. This isn't our home. But we need that help. What we need to survive spiritually is not here, it's with God. And to have an effective and fervent prayer life is essential for the successful Christian. And the one who's living God's way is going to have that. The one who's overcoming and who's showing the fruits in their lives of living this way, they're going to have that close personal connection. This photo of a person praying, a hands praying, is just representing what we need to be in an attitude of all the time. There are many reasons for us that we need to go to God for help. We have our own needs, of course. We have the needs of others that come up. As we mentioned already, we have the prayer list today, or that was announced today. There are many needs there. To have those needs of our own and of others that we bring to God, that's one major reason why we pray. We also have constant problems and sorrows in this life, issues that come up all the time, that struggles in this life, that we need help with to get through that. We have loads of care that come upon us daily. And that active and fervent prayer life is going to help us carry that burden if we stay in close connection with God. Now, Jesus Christ, when he was here, he showed us the example by what he did of how to have that relationship. He was observed praying. His disciples saw him praying. He did that frequently. And by the things that he said, you could see, you could understand, and by the things that he said, that he had that very, very close personal relationship with his Father. He and his Father were one, he said. And he also, while he was here, showed us or taught us how to pray. He gave us the model prayer. When his disciples came to him and asked him, teach us to pray, he gave us that model that is for us today. So we're going to start off in the scriptures today in Luke chapter 18. If you would come with me to Luke chapter 18. This is a parable that he gave us. That he gave us for the specific reason of the message today, that we ought always to pray. And this is how he introduces the parable in verse 1. He spoke a parable to them in verse 1 there of Luke 18, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. It's a lesson for us that he's about to give us. This is a parable for us to look at and say, well, what is the message of this parable? What's he saying in it? We ought to always pray and not lose heart. Now, in the King James Version, that translation of not lose heart means not to faint. And here's a picture of someone fainting. You don't want to kind of just give up, that we just are just overwhelmed, that we just don't have the strength to pray. Well, that's when it's time to pray, really. When we're at that point where we feel like fainting or just giving up, that's the time to really pray. As Christ showed us here, we need that vibrant prayer life with our Heavenly Father to stay connected. Again, a constant attitude of going to the Father and not relying on our own thoughts. Not just going to our own ideas and trying to solve things on our own, but having that instant thought to go, what does God want? What does God want in this situation? Because we're in that constant attitude of prayer. We think about his will before we think of our own. It takes a while, actually, to get to that point. I know in my life, of my Christian life, it took me a while to start changing my thinking and thinking, what would God want instead of what would I want? Well, I still struggle with that, of course. We always want to try to figure out, well, how can I solve this issue? But we always want to keep God in the picture and to think about what he would have us do, to have that instant communication with him, that vibrant prayer life. So that's why I titled this sermon, We Ought Always to Pray, because it's taken right from this verse 1. We ought always to pray. And there in the scriptures are many facets of prayer that we could look at, many examples of prayer. Some of the examples are very long and beautiful. You may remember the prayer of Solomon when he dedicated the temple. And what a beautiful, eloquent prayer that was as he stood there and prayed in front of literally thousands of his countrymen, asking God to bless this temple. What a beautiful prayer that was. Or another example you could call to mind is in Daniel chapter 9, where Daniel realizes where his people have come because of their sins, that they have come to this place of captivity. He's in Babylon as he's praying, and he realizes all these things have come upon them because they have forsaken God. And Daniel prays this very, very beautiful prayer. Of course, in the Psalms, many examples that we could look at. We'll look at a few today. But we're in a spiritual battle, brethren. We're engaged in war. This is war, spiritual war. And the stakes are very high. The stakes are our eternal life. And because this is a very long race, and we are in constant battle, not only with the world, but our own carnal natures that we have to battle against, even ourselves and our own thoughts. We need a strong and vibrant prayer life. So that really is the point of the sermon today, to urge you to have that. And I know I'm speaking to the choir here. We all understand what this is about. We all understand why we need it. But I hope to stir you up and inspire you to perhaps even do more. So important for us, brethren, to have this close personal relationship with God as we struggle in this world, as we go through this life. And if we have that, we can overcome all things, and we're going to make it to our destination, the kingdom of God. So let's read this parable of Jesus Christ. This is a lesson for us to make prayer a regular habit. We ought always to pray. It teaches us to be diligent and not to grow slack. That's why he taught the parable, that we ought always to pray. So he says in verse 2, the parable now beginning, there was in that city a widow in that city. I'm sorry, wrong verse. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now this judge was a person in authority. He could make things happen. The judge. He could render a binding decision. So he has authority. Now, this is representing in this parable the authority that God has to do something when we petition him. This judge has that authority. Now, verse 3 says, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. I need your help. I need your help because I've got this issue and I need you to get involved and get justice for me. She was in need and the judge could help her. So she comes to the judge, the one who could help. And verse 4 says, and he would not for a while. He just, as this parable shows, he just kind of pushed her off for a while, put her off for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming to me, she wearies me. Now, this is, remember, an unjust judge. And the lesson is not to show God as like this, where he just gets so tired of hearing from us, he just says, all right, I'm going to do it for you. It's not that way. But it's just showing that the judge can do something about it, and the widow is persistent. She's not giving up. This is how our prayer life needs to be. There's a photo of persistence in prayer. She was like this. She believed the judge could answer him. And so she kept coming and kept coming and kept coming and wouldn't give up. She had the faith that the judge would hear. That's the example of what our approach needs to be to God, who's got the answer, who's got the authority to intervene on our behalf. And so verse 6 says, then hear what the unjust judge said. Hear what he said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? And avenge, that word avenge means to vindicate. He's going to take care of that issue for you. He's going to answer that prayer. And the judge in this parable would carry out that justice as God will for us. He says to them, verse 12 now, I'm sorry, verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. That might seem like we take our problems of God and we don't see an answer for a while. But we know God has a greater purpose in our lives, and he's working things out that are so far above us, we just don't see them. We cannot see them now in our flesh and blood mortal state. But he's working things out at a level far above what we can know right now. And he says he will avenge them speedily. That means instantly. He's going to make a decision, do something. We may not see it for, who knows, maybe until the return of Jesus Christ. And then he asks this question, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? So here again, the lesson of the parable, God hears our prayer, and he is going to avenge us speedily. And we need to have that persistence of that widow with that unjust judge, knowing that he's going to answer, believing that he will, even though we cannot see an answer. What he's saying here is you continue to beseech God without fail. Keep taking your petition to God. As he said, the purpose of the parable, men ought always to pray and not give up, not faint. Believe that God will answer that prayer. As Paul said, pray without ceasing. This is a beautiful verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I'll just throw that out there. We're familiar with that. Pray without ceasing. Don't give up. Keep going. And God will avenge speedily those who persistently pray to him. So here we have a photo of the earth, and this verse, this question that he's asking, will he find faith on the earth? And I don't know about you, but when I have read this scripture, when I have seen that question, I look at myself and I feel like, do I have the faith? Is he going to find me being faithful when he returns? That's what that scripture causes me to say to myself. Am I going to have the faith that Christ will see when he returns? Am I going to keep my prayers going? Am I going to stay faithful and persistent in my prayers? This is what Christ is asking us, making us think. Are we going to keep that persistent prayer like the widow in the parable? Do we have that kind of faith as pictured there, knowing that all we endure, everything that we take to God will be avenged. Every prayer that we pray, that's what God is telling us. Everything that we take to him according to his will, he will answer. How? When? We often do not see, but we will know. Brethren, this world is passing away. What is coming? A new world, the kingdom of God, will be the solution to really all of the prayers that we pray now. But what is required? What is the key ingredient of prayer? From this parable, we could say it's faith. Faith is the key ingredient to effective prayer. I know I'm not saying anything you don't already know, but let's look at what the scripture says. Faith is required. Notice what Paul wrote here. This scripture here of the James Webb Telescope. Everybody have heard of the James Webb Telescope? It was recently launched, and now it is, I think it was about 6 months ago it was launched. Now it's in space, sending back incredible images of galaxies that have never been before seen. And this one is called the Carina Nebula. It's just beautiful. What does God say about faith? By faith, we understand that the worlds were created and framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. So the NASA Space Administration has sent this satellite up there, and what are they going to find? What are they looking for? Well, they're trying to actually find the beginning of the universe. They're trying to find out when things began, because that light from the first Big Bang is still there. It's just, it can't be seen by the naked eye, but by infrared telescope like this one, they could see light that of events that happened in the time would be millions of years ago. And so here we're seeing evidence of what God has done. When I think of what they're going to see, I think they're going to see what we already know, that all of this creation was framed by the Word of God. How he did it, we don't understand, but by faith, we accept that he did. By faith, we see that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, the invisible God, and we believe that God. Without faith, verse 6 of Hebrews, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith, the key ingredient to a vibrant, effective prayer life, believing that God is, believing that he created all things. And without that faith, it's impossible to please him. That widow in the parable, she demonstrated faith and persistence, knowing that she would get an answer. So God asks you, ask me, ask us to believe him from our hearts. Take his word and believe it. That's how we approach him, believing from the heart in this invisible God. Cannot see him with our eyes, but by faith we know that he exists. So faith is the key ingredient to an effective, fervent prayer life. Let's look at a couple of scriptures over in James. James chapter 1. James tells us about faith in our prayers here in James chapter 1, the key ingredient. If any of you lacks wisdom, this is verse 5 of James 1, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask God. But, verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing doubting, no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. A few years ago, my wife and I visited up in New England one of our widows there, and her name is Shirley. We loved going to visit Shirley, and she lived in the furthest east point of the United States. So if you follow the coast of the United States up, it goes up and up and up, and then in this little section of Maine juts out further than any other part of the continental United States. That's where Shirley lived. And we loved going there to see her. We went there once, our first time, with one of our elders who later died. And he, after our visit, said, let's go to the lighthouse. He said, there's a lighthouse nearby here. And when you stand at that lighthouse, you are literally at the very tip of the United States. That white lighthouse is one of our favorite, became one of our favorite places. So we went up to visit Shirley one night, or one, I think it was a Thursday we drove up and we were going to visit her and then eventually end up in Bangor, Maine for services. So we said after visiting, let's go see the lighthouse. And it was already getting dark. I think it may have already, I believe the sun had already set. And it was a windy night, very windy. And we go out to this lighthouse. It's called West Quoddy Point. And the wind was so strong we could barely open the car doors. And we walked to the edge. Where there's a fence there, so we were safe. But about 30 feet below us, these waves were crashing. It was just an incredible display of power. And there is no ship or no person who could get on those waves and stand, because it was just such turbulence. And I'm telling this story because I think it is an interesting story. Well, for us, it was a very great memory to see that. But what James is saying here, that's like a man without faith. There's no stability. No stability at all. Just crashing waves that nothing could stand in. And let not that man, verse 7 now, suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he is, verse 8, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Everything about his life. Have you known anybody like that? Let me ask you this. Do you see double-mindedness in yourself? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we can see that we hedge sometimes back and forth. Well, God wants us to have faith, believe his word, and not be tossed to and fro. Faith is the key ingredient of an effective and vibrant prayer life, and if you lack it, ask for it. This is what James is saying. If you lack it, ask for it. Oh, I mentioned earlier that when Jesus Christ was here in the flesh, he showed by his example how to have an effective and fervent prayer life. And he also taught us how to pray. So we're going to look at his model prayers. Jesus gave us the model, the example. Let's go there in Luke chapter 11 now. Luke 11. And if you have a New King James, I think it might actually say in there the model prayer, right? And that section here, starting in verse 1. Now it came to pass, verse 1, that he, as he was praying in a certain place, showing by his example that he had that close personal connection, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so he said to them, gave them this model. This was the answer. When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we address God as our Father, believing that he is and that he hears us. And we hope for his kingdom to come, asking him for that kingdom to come, for his will to be done. Verse 3, we say, give us this day, in this model, our daily bread, or give us day by day our daily bread. Give us what we need every single day, our needs. But that's not only our physical needs, but our spiritual needs. And verse 4, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we keep ourselves reconciled to God as we ask for forgiveness of our sins and also reconciling ourselves with all men. Keeping ourselves reconciled with all men and asking God to protect us from all harm. Don't lead us into temptation, but protect us. Deliver us from the evil one. this is the model that Jesus gave us. So we're going to go through this and give some examples through this prayer. I'll explain these things. And again, the point of the whole message here today, brethren, is to urge you to have a fervent and effective and persistent prayer life like the widow in the parable. Here's another photo of a beautiful earth. There's a creation photo showing the beauty of creation in this very familiar verse from Romans 1:20. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are seen by the things which are made. When we look around and see the creation, we understand God did that. Invisible to our eyes, but the evidence is there everywhere we look. Everywhere we look. And he's given us physical mortal life, given us the opportunity to live in this age, in this time, and he's given that opportunity for eternal life if we will take hold of it. He's given us everything we need to attain to immortality. And that effective prayer life is so essential to that. In many ways, our fathers on earth mirror what our Father in heaven is like. A father, your father, hopefully you had a good father. Some people have not, though. But your father, hopefully, provided for you, was there for you, loved you, provided for you, gave himself up for his children, laid down his life so his children could have the things that they needed. And this is like our heavenly Father. And like our earthly fathers, our heavenly Father wants to hear from us. So here's a beautiful photo. This was taken a month ago, a little over a month ago. There's three fathers in that photo. My father, me, and my son. And then my son's son. This four-generation photo, I call this photograph solid gold. That, to me, is precious. When I think of my own earthly dad, he doesn't force himself on me that I have a relationship with him. If I choose to go a different way, you know, he's not going to force me to have a relationship with him. But I want to. And so the way it works with my dad and I was typically I'll call him about once every 3 or 4 weeks. You know, he's what I'll say low maintenance. He doesn't need a lot of attention just to keep things kind of close. And 10, 15 minutes on the phone, that's good for him, and it feels like we made that connection. I love calling my dad. Used to be my dad would call me before I kind of got around to the way, I haven't heard from my dad lately. I think I need to call him. So I started calling him, and now that's the way it is. He's 90 years old, and this photo was taken at his 90th birthday. We had a celebration for him, and my whole family, most of my family was there. But I think about that. It's my choice to have a relationship with him, and he's always glad to hear from me. Very, very positive. And that's an example of what it's like for our Heavenly Father, who is always glad to hear from you. When you take that time and go and get on your knees and pray to him, he's glad to hear from you. When I think about my earthly dad, and I realize I may not have him around all that much longer, maybe only a few more years, but I don't want to look back and although this might happen to you, it's happened, I know people have had this sorrow where they wish they'd had that relationship. They'd wish they'd taken the time. I don't want that feeling in my life. I want to know that I had a good relationship with my father, my earthly dad, the same way with our heavenly father, because what he's given us is life. He's given us this wonderful opportunity to live a wonderful, full life but also to inherit internal life. But we need to have that connection with him. And I don't think any one of us would want to look back on our life and say, oh, I wish I had taken that opportunity when I had it. We don't want that to happen. We want to keep that relationship with God. We have an opportunity, brethren, because we know the truth. We understand the truth. More than most people on earth, literally, we understand the truth. And so, therefore, our relationship with God can be very, very close. Now, many people pray to God, and I know he hears many, many prayers. But because we understand who he is in a way that many do not, we have an opportunity to have a very, very close relationship with him. Think of it. The most important being in the universe, our Father, he wants to hear from us. Here's another photo from the James Webb Telescope. This is showing five galaxies. It's called the Stephens Quintet, and the bright lights are basically where the galaxies are at. The one on the left is 40 million light years from Earth. And the other ones are a lot further than that. 40 million light years. Light year is the length of time light travels in a year. 40 million light years is the one on the left. This shows us how vast the universe is. But, you know, you could understand that just by what's around us. And you could see the incredible amount of different types of trees and flowers and animals, insects, fish, everything that is in creation. It points to an incredibly wonderful creator. And this is just evidence to me of that creator when I see photos like this. But think of it. The one who made all that, he wants to hear from you. He wants you to give him your attention. And he wants to answer your prayers. We have received this spirit, which Paul says, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. We have this relationship where we can look to him as our Father. Close, personal, loving, willing always to help us, as the parable says, speedily. Think of it. We have the ear of the Father of all creation. So take advantage of that. Understand what it is that we have. Go to that mercy seat, that throne of grace. Ask him for his help at all times. When we pray, here's a scripture that God gives, Jesus Christ gives us. Matthew 6, verse 6. Jesus explained what to do when we go to pray. This is how to do it. When you pray, go into your room. And when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. That's where he is. It's just you and him. That is beautiful, Father, that we can have that relationship with our Heavenly Father. Here's another photo of showing us another part of this prayer. We address Father, the model prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And Jesus taught us to pray this because that's the solution, really, for everything that we go to God for. Really, for the fullness of his kingdom to come, where every wrong is going to be fixed, every tear wiped away, every sorrow a thing of the past. No more death, no more tears, no more crying. Everything in this world that is wrong is going to get fixed. This is what God has promised us. And so therefore we pray, your kingdom come. That's in the model prayer. That's the solution for everything that's wrong. All the pain and suffering in this world. So Peter wrote this verse in 2 Peter 3, verse 13. 2 Peter 3, verse 13. We, according to his promise, it's not an empty promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And Christ said that God will speedily avenge his elect who cry day and night to him from that parable. That's what Christ said. You know, this is the example of this unjust judge and this persistent widow is just a lesson for us to see that God is going to speedily avenge the elect who cry out day and night to him. But again, it's in his time. And Christ is, as he says at the very close of the book of Revelation, I am coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. But to us, it seems like it's taking forever. But with God, not so. Not so. Well, we also come to God and we pray for the needs of others, as has already been mentioned. We pray and bring those needs to him. That prayer list is very long. And this is something that really needs to be an active part of our daily prayers, to pray for one another. That all these situations and difficulties that our brethren are having are fixed. God will hear those prayers, however you do it. My wife and I have people that we kind of pick out as we know things, personal situations that we are aware of. We start praying for them. And I know she's praying for them. I'm praying for them. Several ladies in mind come to mind right now that we've been praying for, who we know are dealing with some serious health issues, other things as well. We've been praying for our brethren here who are ill. Well, however you do it, this really needs to be a part of your daily prayer life. We also have a lot of cares, and this beautiful scripture in 1 Peter tells us, what do we do with our cares? Cast them on him. Cast all of our cares on him, for he cares for you. That's 1 Peter 5, verse 7. One of the things I like to do sometimes, perhaps you do this, I know we have prayer cards here. Almost every Sabbath I'm here, there we see the prayer cards. We might want to include a little bit of scripture in that prayer note. And this is one that I've put in some prayer notes before. We cast all our cares on him because he cares for you. Beautiful memory verse. So let's look at an example of someone who is persistently crying out to God in prayer. Let's turn to Psalm 119. Let's go there to Psalm 119 and take a few verses here and see the attitude and the approach of one who's crying out persistently to God for help. Start there in verse 145 of Psalm 119. 145. I cry out, it says, with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, and I will keep your statutes. When you pray to God like that, do you remind him, Lord, I'm doing your will. I'm doing your commandments. I'm doing what you've asked of me. This is what this person is saying. I am keeping your way, O Lord. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. Verse 147, I will rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. Hear my voice, verse 149. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord, and revive me according to your justice. When I read that verse, it reminds me of the persistent widow. Hear me, is what the widow is saying to the judge. Hear my complaint. Hear me. And this person is saying, hear my voice, O Lord, and answer me according to your justice, as the widow prayed the judge. Get me justice from my adversary. But God is going to hear the prayer of this one, or like this, the one praying in this manner. In this life, brethren, we are going to have lots of sorrow and heartache, and those things we can bring to God daily. And again, our prayer list is filled with examples of brethren going through deep trials of faith. As this photo reminds us with that scripture verse, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. You know, if you think about that verse and when Paul wrote it, or as Paul said it, he had just been stoned not long before. And what was his attitude? I'm going to go back and encourage my brethren. And he tells them this. There's another verse I like to sometimes include in little prayer notes. It's quite a scripture if you think about, too, what Paul had just gone through. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. But that kingdom is coming. That solution is coming. Every injustice is going to be fixed. Every problem, no matter what. When we pray for others or any of need of our own, we trust God for his will to be done. So the next part of that model prayer is, give us day by day our daily bread. Give us day by day everything that we need. Trust him to supply our needs. And as we pray for our needs, leave it in God's hands to supply them, no matter what we're going through. Think of how much of our lives are directed toward getting something to eat. You know, we have to go to work to get some money to buy food. And we have to go buy the food, or maybe grow the food. And we have to prepare that food. And that requires a kitchen and all the accoutrements that go along with that. And of course, then we eat it and we clean up after that. So, I mean, it's quite a process just to eat. To eat, to have our daily bread. God fulfills those needs for physical food. Has anybody of us really lacked in that area? Has anybody? I don't think so. God has supplied those needs for us. But this prayer, give us day by day our daily bread, is not only for our physical bread, but it's for our spiritual food as well. In fact, that is the more important food to ask God for, to have that, as I'll call it, that bread of life. As Jesus said, he was, I am the bread of life. That we have that bread daily, our true food. Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread, but it means physically, but also spiritually. We need more than physical food, as Matthew 4, verse 4 tells us. This is what Jesus Christ said in the wilderness to Satan the devil, who was tempting him to make loaves of bread out of the rocks. And he said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how we will live, with that real, true bread. We need to ask God for it daily. As the model prayer is showing us, asking for our spiritual food. Jesus called himself, John 6, this chapter John, sixth chapter of John, where he talks about himself being the bread of life. He says, I am, verse 35 there, the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me will never hunger. If you eat this bread, you're not going to hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. What is he talking about is spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst that will be satisfied with the true bread of life. That bread that God provides us, it satisfies that deep spiritual hunger that exists in us. It fills that need in us to be filled with the true bread. Here's a photo of a worried person. Christ also told us regarding our daily needs. Remember this from Matthew 6. He said, don't worry about what you'll eat, what you'll drink, or what we'll wear. What are we going to eat? How are we going to live? Don't make that your chief concern, as he says in that passage in Matthew 6. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, as he taught. Your heavenly Father knows you need those things. He made you. He knows you. You need those things. But what are we to seek? This verse, Matthew 6, verse 33, another memory verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. He'll take care of those physical things if you seek him first. That's what he's telling us. That is faith, brethren. That is faith. Believing that God will supply everything we need. The next part of that model prayer says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive he who is indebted to us. So this photo here shows us the word forgiveness in it, and I think it's written in the sand, and it made me think, well, that's interesting, like if the wave came along, that word would go away, like how God really looks at our sins. When he really forgives us, they're gone. Those sins, that he doesn't remember them. That's what he says. I don't remember. I'll cast them aside as far as the east is from the west, he says, and forgives us. This is what we need to pray for daily, brother. To ask God for that forgiveness and also to forgive others who is indebted to us. So this photo right here shows a personal example. I know you're aware of this. It happened in our life. When the man who killed my daughter, that's my Michaela, when she was 16, it was one of my favorite photos of her when she was 16. And that's a family photo on the right. And her face is on the gravestone there. And she's gone now. Those are my two sons standing there with me. My two surviving children. And you remember what happened? I think you remember the story, the Beyond Today program. And what it was about was forgiveness. Remember that? I met the man who killed her in the courtroom. And I told him, what you did, well, you took my daughter. But I don't hate you. I never did. And the courtroom was literally like stunned. It was just a stunning moment. And I know that God's Spirit gave me those words, and I absolutely believe them. I never hated this person. It's interesting. I found this out later. I got a call about 2 years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago, from someone who said, I was in prison, and my roommate was the man who killed your daughter. And I knew Ron Hillman, and I knew him in prison, and but he told me he just had a lot of time. He had a lot of time to serve, but I never knew what he did. But I got out. But he's still there. He's there for life. And so I said, he told me the story. I said, I decided to go look up what he did. And I found out what he did. And then I came across this video that Beyond Today wrote or made And I watched it. I watched that video. And he said, that was incredible. And he found me and he called me up. And I told him, I said, God did that. It was God's spirit that led me to forgive the man. It was quite a moment for him and for me to talk that he had actually spent time with the man who killed Michaela. And he told me he's a changed man. That's what he told me. I could say more about that, but I need to go on. But there is an example, brethren. I took the easy way. I never thought about revenge or never thought about that because it was just too heavy a burden. And God does not want you to carry a burden of vengeance in this life. He wants you to put those things away. And don't carry that load. It's too heavy. You cannot bear it. So we need that help to forgive those who have done us wrong. I know that is the easy way. I know that. And then he says, the model prayer continues, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we look to God and ask him for his help, his protection at all times to keep us safe from harm. Our earthly fathers were such that, you know, if they were a good father, a good example for us, they took care of us. Our earthly fathers loved their children just as our Heavenly Father loves us. And he wants to hear from us even though we're in trouble, when we have issues, when we have problems. Look at another psalm here, quickly here. Psalm 142, this one is. Couple of verses here. Just another example of crying out to God for help. Psalm 142. We're talking about asking God to protect us, to lead us not into temptation. And this person here is crying out, With my voice, to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. Tell him your problems. And my spirit is overwhelmed, verse 3, within me. Then you knew my path and the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. His enemies have set snares for him. And then verse 4, look on my right hand and see that there is no one who acknowledges me. I feel alone. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. Do you get this way sometimes? That's when we need to cry out to God like this. This is a great example for us. So I cried out to you, O Lord, verse 5, and I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry. I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. As an example of persistence in prayer, crying out to God, asking for help, saying, I know you hear me, and you will deliver me. God says, this is a beautiful scripture also, I will never leave you or forsake you. So here's a photo of a man teaching his child to ride a bicycle. I had a similar experience. So I'm going to use my father's example again. And here I was, I think I was 4 years old. My dad and mom bought me a bicycle for my birthday. I couldn't ride it yet, but with training wheels I could. Could ride it with those training wheels. You know, the training wheels that help you keep the bike upright. And so I would go around and ride my bike with my training wheels. And one night, my dad said, it's time to take the training wheels off. So he took them off. Just took the wrench and took them off. He said, let's go out on the street. As I guess he felt, you know, he saw me riding around on the bike, and he said, you're ready. And so he got next to me. I got on the bike, and he said, all right, start pedaling. So he's I'm pedaling, he's running alongside me, and I'm pedaling, and he's running alongside, holding me up, keeping me balanced. I think he had his hands on the handlebars along with mine. And then he let go. He let go. But he didn't stop running. I'm running. I'm actually starting to ride a bike without training wheels. And the memory of that is, as I'm looking down to my right, my dad's legs pumping, pumping. He was around 30 or so. I still remember that. He's 90 now, so that was almost 60 years ago, almost. I'll never forget that. I haven't. And that's what God is. It's a good example that God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. When he let go, my dad, the bike, he didn't leave me. He kept running. And that was the most impressive thing that I recall, that he stayed right there with me. I will never leave you or forsake you, God says. By the way, another great verse to put in prayer cards if you like writing prayer cards. Never leave you or forsake you, God says. We need to know this when we pray, that God is going to never leave us. Even though we may not see the answer, but when we pray for him not to lead us into evil, he won't. He hears that prayer, and he protects us. Another beautiful verse I like to include sometimes is from Psalm 34. Psalm 34, here's a couple of verses from there. I like to use this in my prayer notes. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. He hears the righteous cry. So if you're doing his will, if you're living his way of life, he's going to listen to you. And he delivers them from all their trouble. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. And he says then, this is the verse I like to include in a prayer card sometime, many are the afflictions of the righteous. We're going to go through a lot. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. And so I've gone through now this model prayer that Christ gives to us in Luke chapter 11. There's one more thing that I want to emphasize again. I've already really alluded to this all throughout the message, is that we go directly to God, that we have access to God through Jesus Christ. That this is our understanding of our access to God. It is through him. We know who he is. We know what Christ has done for us to bring us into that relationship with God. And because of what Christ did by the will of the Father, we can now stand in the presence of the Creator of the universe as someone who is righteous. This is an understanding that we all need to have very deeply ingrained in our minds. So I bring this point out toward the end here, having that access to God through Jesus Christ is so important to have an effective and fervent prayer life. Understanding what that is, Christ said, this is at his last Passover, he gave this to his disciples, is for us. Also, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is how we have access to God. It is through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus taught us, when he gave us that model prayer, to pray to the Father, the God of us all, who wants to hear from us. A couple scriptures in Hebrews chapter 4 explain this. These are familiar scriptures, as you know, Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have this great high priest, Jesus Christ, who has passed through the heavens, now sits at the right hand of God. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Now, let's understand, brethren, we cannot see him in his glory now, but we know that he's there. We do not have either a high priest, verse 15 of Hebrews 4, that cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but is in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to be human and to live in this flesh and to have all the issues and problems that we have and all the battles that we have to face. He knows exactly what that feels like. So let us therefore, verse 16, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. A couple more verses. 1 John 3, verse 22. This is a good one, brother. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. Let me repeat that. Whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Yes, whatever we ask, because we're righteous before him, doing his commandments. And verse also from 1 John chapter 5 now, verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him. Confidence. This is the faith that we have in him, the assurance that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And what is his will for us? Is to be healed of everything that's wrong physically with us, that to have all of our problems taken care of, dealt with, avenged. His will for us is to be eternal in glory with him. And whatever we ask, according to that will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, verse 15, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have that we have asked of him. We know it. Those are powerful verses, brethren, to understand that God hears us who stand before him as righteous in his sight through Jesus Christ. As Paul wrote, Ephesians 2, verse 18, through him we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Ephesians 2, 18. So persistence in prayer. Persistence in prayer. We cannot give up. Stay with it. We ought always to pray. For we know, James 5, verse 16, this familiar verse, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. A righteous man, a righteous woman, if it's effective in faith, that's what that means. Effective, faithful prayer, it avails much. In Philippians 4, 6, last scripture. In Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And so, brethren, we ought always to pray, the title of the sermon. We ought always to pray. Through Christ, we have that access to the Father, and believing faith, when we ask him, according to his will for us, he hears us. This relationship that we have is so essential to our salvation, to our success in this way of life. To be a successful Christian, we must have a strong and effective prayer life. Jesus Christ gave us the example how to pray. So I urge you, brethren, don't fall short in keeping your access to God open. Keep that lifeline vibrant. God has done everything possible for you to attain to eternal life, you have an opportunity to get to that point. You need to keep that relationship with Him open. Don't neglect your prayers. Don't give up. Especially, brethren, as we see the day drawing near. Indeed, we ought always to pray.